Today on Analog Out, we've got our big E3 recap. We are talking about all things Nintendo, Microsoft. Can't wait to talk about that Bethesda conference, Square Enix, and, you know, everyone else, I guess. Check it out.
Oh my God.
What?
The Bethesda. Can't wait to talk about that.
It was so worthless.
It was so bad.
It was nothing. It was doom. And mobile games. So tone deaf. Like, nobody cares about mobile games who's watching E3. Don't you remember Diablo?
Don't you discredit mobile gamers. They're true gamers, too. That's been like a Twitter war now, too.
Really?
Yeah.
My grandma's a true gamer. She loves Candy Crush. Hey everybody, welcome back for the most exciting episode of the year. It's our hot takes on E3 2019. My name's Pat and I'm here with my co-host Bowman.
Hello everybody, it's great to be here.
Boy, I can't wait to get your hot takes, Bowman, on what these games are all about, what these conferences were like. I'm expecting a score out of 100 from each.
We're going to break down every single game, guys. This is going to be about maybe a 10-hour episode.
Right. So strap yourselves in, drink your Red Bulls, and, you know, whatever. Anyway, we better get into it because, boy, there's a lot
of stuff. It's been a fun ride, man. It's been a good time. I don't feel like I was as engaged in E3 as I have been this year.
Yeah, but it's definitely like clearly an off year.
Well,
except for Nintendo, who's just like, I saw a good picture on Twitter where it was like, oh, Sony's not here. Microsoft's having like an off like setup year for their next console, and Nintendo's just like holding my beer.
Yeah.
Because they had plenty of stuff to announce. Anyway, Microsoft was the first conference.
Xbox conference.
Xbox. It can play games and it runs your TV
set. Did you just skip the Stadia conference?
Oh, shit. You're right. Stadia. What, $9.99 a month?
Not
doesn't include games.
No,
I'm sure it includes like a couple games.
It's got free games with it.
But most games you have to buy them.
Yeah.
They raised the requirements for streaming. So it's like they said before that it would only take like 20 or 25 megabits to have like the full speed. And now they raised
it's 35
to like 35
for 4K, yeah, for 4K.
Which is fine. I mean, you're an idiot if you thought that you were going to need less than that
like
for 4K.
10 megabit internet, yeah, for 4K, yeah.
Yeah, that's not happening. I still don't think that 35 is happening. No. So because I mean, you can't even watch YouTube, which is a Google product. I have a gigabit internet. I have fiber internet, and YouTube
still buffers
and, like, you know, scales down and stuff at times.
Oh yeah.
So, and that's from Google's server. So yeah.
I want streaming services to be good, and I toy with this so much because I'm trying to like not own that much stuff. So I would like streaming to be good, but everybody's done such a good job about making me as unenthused about it as, mm-hmm, possible.
Well, there's just too many moving parts. Like, yeah, you can have a good server that has a great upload service, but you have to trust another tech company that's competing with you to like not throttle it and things like that. And that's clearly what they do on YouTube, is they throttle it, or YouTube themselves, they like compress the shit out of everything so it still looks crappy even at 4K. Things like that.
Well, not even just that. My argument is that I'm not okay right now with paying a full price for a retail game.
Well, we don't know if it's going to be full price games.
Well, what we've seen so far, it just seems like it's going to be close to it.
They're going to be pulling in so much money from this thing if they get a decent amount of subscribers.
Yeah.
Because of this, because of the way that it's set up, and if they're actually charging full price for the games, but they're not actually like, you know, Google needs to basically just pay the company to have the license to put the game on the service. They're not selling the games. They're not digital copies. They're literally just – it's Google's copy of the game that you're,
yeah,
playing.
Yeah.
So Yeah, they're going to make a ton of money.
It is worth mentioning, though, that, I mean, that there will be a free version of it. The 4K is the $10 a month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a base version that will come out.
Okay, well, and you don't even have a 4K.
No, I don't. I don't care about that.
Actually, your Surface probably is close to it. But
not even an interest of mine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's free. The service itself is free to use. Eventually, I guess. It probably won't launch that way. But not 4K, and I believe like if you have like the membership, you get like certain discounts on games, and you occasionally get a free game in there, similar to like
incredible
PS Plus and Xbox's service. Anyway, let's just shut up about Stadia. That's pretty much what their conference was.
You can buy a controller.
Yeah, there's a Founders Club that has a controller. Blah blah blah. Done.
Nobody cares about that.
Let's just move on to Xbox.
No true gamer cares about Stadia.
Yeah. So we had Xbox's conference, which. We already knew they were going to reveal a whole lot of first-party games. What was your overall impression of the Xbox conference, Pat?
A lot of games.
There was a lot. And there really was.
A decent, like, eclectic types of games. Indie games.
Yeah.
The one that really stuck out to me was, like, it looked like a pen and paper art style.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of it, but it was...
Yeah, like the RPG type game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool. Something's adventure or something like that.
Yeah, and it just looks like someone drawing on a piece of notebook paper.
It was really cute. I like that one.
And let's see, Gears of War 5. Don't care about that, but
a lot of people do.
Yeah, they have a Terminator skin. Seems like Terminator partnered with everyone at
E3. I was telling you, man, we need to license out Terminator for this podcast.
Yeah,
it really seems like something we could actually do.
Wait, hold on. Maybe I have. What do I hear something? Dun 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 dun. Dum, 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 dum. Anyway, yeah, so many Terminator partnerships. It was strange, and also doesn't give me a lot of hope for the new movie.
Probably not.
So yeah, Gears of War 5. Yeah, that's fine. I don't play that.
What
series.
Is the thing that happened in Xbox that everybody was that the internet blew up about?
Oh, Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves shows up at Cyberpunk 2077. Keanu Reeves is the new favorite guy of the internet. He's the Chuck Norris of
2019.
He was there. He seemed to enjoy himself.
It was really funny.
Here's the thing. I was kind of excited for the Cyberpunk 2077 game. Now that I've seen like more footage of and stuff, I'm really not. It kind of looks like the gameplay style of Borderlands, which I don't like those games. I was expecting more of like a realistic shooter, and instead it's the combat is almost like a gun Skyrim, if you've ever played those games,
mm-hmm.
where it's almost like more of like an RPG where you just point at each other and shoot, and you have health points, and eventually one of you will die.
Yeah.
There's no, like, not a lot of skill involved. You can't, like, shoot a guy's leg out and make him stumble or shoot a guy in the head and kill him before he sees you. It's like, strictly just they have hit points.
First-person shooter, like, cross RPG elements to it.
Right. And the only game that I've ever seen do that really well are the first-person Fallout games with their, like, VATS system.
Like New Vegas and...
Yeah. Yeah. Because they found an interesting way to turn that style of gameplay, they somehow translated the Fallout games into a first person style, complete with like turn based combat. So that was always really cool. But even in those games, you can like shoot a monster's leg off or whatever, and then he has trouble, like he can't catch you. So you can like cripple their limbs and stuff.
It's got a while till it comes out, so maybe things could change on it. But
it looked pretty finished to me, as far as the combat and stuff goes. That's like one of the first things you would hash out is the gameplay. Now they're just polishing things and fixing bugs and stuff. So yeah, I was a little bit disappointed by that. I mean, if you're into that stuff, whatever. But when you're talking about a first person shooter, I expect it to be more skill based, and it was like almost like a first person shooter Diablo. Kind of deal. So yeah,
we got another Diablo clone though. Minecraft Dungeon.
Yeah, that's whatever.
I mean, it's whatever. It's a kid's game,
I guess. What'd you think? Do you care about Gears 5?
I mean, I would like to. I mean, I like Gears of. I never played the other Gears of War games. I only played the original one.
Me too.
I'm even playing.
That's fine.
Yeah, I guess I'll mention this now. We already knew this, but they talked about their Xbox Game Pass more. Obviously, they're gonna have a package that includes the console and the PC and Live all in one package.
$15 a month.
It's gonna be $10 a month for the Xbox Game PC Pass. When it fully rolls out, right now we have a beta version of it, and it's $1 to join, $5 a month while it's still in beta. And I currently joined that, so I'm
that's not even a deal. They always have that.
What?
The $1.
Oh, I know. They always have that. I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
But the $5 a month thing is for the PC Pass while it's in beta. It's neat because, I mean, I'm playing Gears of War right now, and lots of indie games are on there that are great indie games, like Wargroove and stuff like that.
Well, the major reveal at this conference was the Gears of War Funko mobile game. Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, they brought it up again.
No,
yeah.
The real announcement was the new console.
My mind was blown when they said they were making a new console.
I know, it's crazy. I thought that the Xbox One, they were just going to sit on that for like 20 years, but then they were like, no, actually, we are working on another console, and then that's all they said and did is they didn't show it or.
It was,
and it's not coming for a year and a half.
It mirrored the same exact thing they did when they announced the Xbox One X. It was like almost the same exact kind of format.
It just makes no sense because do people who are watching E3 really have no clue that they would be making a new console eventually? That's literally all they said. It would be like if I said to you, Bowman, I'm going to take a shower one day. Like, yeah, I assumed you would.
Yeah.
You know, it's an assumption. It's been several years. They didn't show anything. That's the thing. They didn't even show like a concept art or whatever.
The only thing that they did show, and I'll give them that, is they did show Halo Infinite, the new Halo.
They didn't show it, though. They just showed a
CG game trailer, but still, they at least said this will launch with the new Xbox system.
Yeah, but they showed that off last year. They showed a CG game trailer. Mm. So,
yeah, well.
That's not a new announcement. So, whatever. Here's another... So that's that. It's sad that that's all we have to say about a new console announcement, but that's literally it.
Yeah.
But here's something else. They're coming out with this a new like $1 million controller.
Yeah, the Elite controller.
Part two.
They're really. I mean, the first Elite controller is very impressive already. So
yeah.
I mean, they're solid products. It's a very targeted audience. People who want.
Take a guess on the price of this new one here.
I mean, $300.
No, thankfully not. It's $180.
Okay.
For a controller. So it's the cost of the controller is what you can buy an Xbox One S for right now.
I mean, you got to hand it to them for at least just they do make products for people who want, like, you know, like that is a product that a very certain audience will want, and most companies will be like, hey, we're not going to bother making a product like that because only a very small audience people are going to want it.
Sure, it's just I have a hard time believing that the technology in that controller is on par with the console itself that sells for around the same price.
I don't know, man. I mean, normal controllers are like $60, so I'm
yeah.
Not,
so here's an interesting fact, though, is it took them till 2019 to finally make a controller that has a rechargeable battery in it.
Yeah.
And it costs $180, but it does have a rechargeable battery.
That's good.
The last one didn't, did it?
No. I don't believe so, no.
Another announcement, this got leaked the day before, but this is something that I'm somewhat interested in, is Elden Ring. It's a collaboration between From Software and George R. R. Martin from Game of Thrones.
Right. CG trailer for a thing.
Wasn't even, it was like concept art, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's a thing.
It is a thing. It does exist. It's been long rumored. I knew this was probably coming. It was rumored several months ago that this was a thing. Makes it really funny because people are always complaining that it's taken him like 10 years to write the next book. And he's always saying like how busy he is and how hard he's working on it. And it turns out that he's like doing all these other projects and not finishing the book.
Yeah.
So that adds a little bit of funny lore to the situation. He's like, has done some really like funny, like just typical, like lazy asshole stuff where he tries to make it seem like he's working really hard on the book. And it's obvious he's not. Like they tried to have him come in for a cameo on the final season of Game of Thrones. And he was like, I can't, I'm just too busy writing the new book. But he's got like these other, it's like, fuck you. I know you can't take 2 days out to make a cameo on the show they created for you. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure you're just so hard at work that you couldn't possibly take a moment away. So he's pretty funny when it comes to that stuff. And this, I know that there's people probably like flipping out about this, that he still hasn't released the book and he's doing this game now. But as you all know, I'm a huge fan of From Software, except for Sekiro. And it's kind of annoying though and unfortunate. I mean, you saw the trailer, right?
Right. I think I know what you're getting with this. Yeah. I saw your comment about this.
Yeah, I made some tweets about it, and yeah, it was like, okay, so you've got this fantasy writer brought on board to help write and create a world for the story, and it looks exactly like a Dark Souls game in like tone and stuff. It's all like dark and depressing and creepy and stuff. And I guess I just wanted to see them stray away from it. And it's the same exact type of complaints I had with Sekiro, where it's just like people are sick of, and the series is great, but people are sick of like Dark Souls style games. Yeah. And I don't even necessarily mean the combat, but I would have loved like a medieval style like Game of Thrones game, but with Dark Souls combat, like technical, like night on night combat. But this is
another dark and dreary.
Yeah, it's like, another dark and dreary. So that's fine. But why even bother bringing him on if you're just gonna make if you're not gonna do anything very different? So that was my main complaint about it. But
yeah,
definitely interested to find out more about it. Probably we'll see it playable at E3 next year. They're not like Square Enix where they announce a game and then it doesn't come out for like 8 years. They'll announce it and then within a year it'll be playable, and then sometime within 2 years of them announcing it, it comes out. So
pretty big thing got announced for me at least, and I believe for you too.
What?
Phantasy Star Online 2 finally coming to America.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely going to play that probably.
Crossplay with Xbox and PC, which is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so, really cool.
Yeah,
I've played it before.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have. It's just, it's in Japanese.
Yeah, but I think you could get a patch or something.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of people who are a little concerned about the release as well, because they're just like, oh man, I've been investing all this time into the Japanese servers. Am I going to be able to pull my character?
Probably not.
Run him over? And it's just probably not now.
Because then you would have a situation where you've got a bunch of Japanese players that are already way powerful.
I assume they want this to be like a new
fresh start.
Yeah, clean server with, especially having cross with console in mind and all that stuff. You don't want a server that's already been like years and years and years old of highly skilled players. You'd rather just have a fresh start.
Yeah, we mentioned Microsoft Dungeons. That's whatever. Or Minecraft Dungeons,
Minecraft
rather.
Minecraft Dungeons, yeah, whatever. It's cute.
Psychonauts 2, I never played the first one, but
no, I mean, cool. It's on my list.
Battletoads, bruh.
They
showed off Battletoads, man. Aren't you excited? Well, this is a classic.
I messaged you,
franchise.
I messaged you when this came up, because as soon as because they had the black and then it played the...
It's the Battletoads.
And the Battletoads pause music plays. And I don't know, and we're probably going to get...
You've got rash, you've got pimple,
if we had an audience at all, some people might be mad at what we're about to say, but Battletoads is not a great series.
No.
It never has been, and I don't know why people hold it on any regard. If anything, it's a meme.
The first game was not good, and it was broken.
No, it's a broken game. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, and the only other game that I know of that they were ever in was Double Dragon versus Battletoads,
mm-hmm.
Which is a fine game,
yeah.
But it's a different type of game, and also it's at its heart it's a Double Dragon game with the Battletoads in it. So They've never even had like a sequel to their own first game, which wasn't great.
Nobody seemed to care.
No,
about
not
this
at all.
Game though.
Yeah, everyone was kind of just like, "What?" And also, it looks like a flash game.
Yeah, it looks like a flash game.
So you know, it probably didn't cost them much, and people will buy it on nostalgia, and they'll probably make money, which is fine. I'm not opposed to that. What are you doing, man?
I dropped my phone.
Are you breaking things?
Relax.
You breaking stuff?
It's my giant phone.
Are you fucking smashing up my studio here?
Yes.
Okay. Blair Witch. What do you think on that?
Could be cool, but don't know.
You know what game actually looked really cool that they showed off, and I was a bit surprised, is The Outer Worlds. Looked like back when Fallout was good. The one where you're on a planet, and it's owned by corporations. It's like a RPG, choose your own adventure, you can be bad or good or whatever.
Yeah, I was indifferent. I'm not really usually a fan of those types of games, but
it looked cool.
Could be cool.
I don't like Fallout 4.
Right.
And obviously I don't like Fallout 76, so it looks more like the older first-person Fallout game. So that's...
What did you think of Blair Witch, though?
I mean, I couldn't tell if it was a survival horror game or a walking simulator.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Mm-hmm. Is it seems it's weird. I can't exactly tell what kind of game it is.
I mean, I hope judging by the trailer, I hope it uses a lot of camera aspects to it because, I mean, I like the Fatal Frame series for that, but...
Did you ever play that... What is it? I don't know. It's like a survival horror game with the camera.
Fatal Frame?
No. Came out a couple years ago. It's first person. It's you can only see the like monsters and stuff with the video camera.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
You're like a journalist. They made sequels to it.
Nothing.
Come on, man.
Sorry.
Come on.
It's not coming to mind.
Damn it! If you're out there, send us an email at analogoutmedia@gmail.com. Tell us what game I'm thinking of here. It's a common game. It was a popular game, and it had a couple sequels. Anywho, so yeah, let's see. We got Microsoft Flight Simulator. Beautiful looking game. Not interested at all. You got Age of Empires 2 remastered 4K. I love Age of Empires 2. I don't know if I'll get it, but I do love that game. Wasteland 3, I've been meaning to play the second one, supposedly phenomenal game. I've had it recommended to me. Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga, all 9 films in Lego form.
It's a Lego game.
I don't like those games. They're made so they could be played by like a 7-year-old with one eye and no hands. Like, that's
God, that's harsh.
I mean, they are. They're just mindless. They're kids, so simple.
They're kids' games, like...
When I was a kid, games were a lot more complex.
You're right. I mean, but yeah, it's literally a game.
You
can just plug it in and like can play it.
They're pretty neat games. I like what they do with a lot of it, but it just becomes so boring because it's so mindless.
Yeah, I like the cute CG scenes and stuff, how they put a comedic tone to all the scenes in the movies and stuff. But
they showed the Dragon Ball Z game. I'm kind of lukewarm on it. Dude, I'm a big Dragon Ball Z fan, but it just looks like...
Has there been any new Dragon Ball Z game that you've been passionate about, rather than just the fighting game?
The fighting game was
a huge one, and that was a rare case. Those games never get any like good releases.
The Xenoverse games were kind of cool because it was all like alternate timeline, like new story type stuff. I wish they would have brought Dragon Ball Online over here.
I can't think of many good like anime like adaptation games that are great. Like in recent years, because most of them are just cash cows. I treat them the same as like Marvel games and stuff.
Yeah. 12 Minutes. That seemed like a cool game.
That looked
we both
really
thought
cool.
It was nice. It was like a thriller where you, an interactive thriller where you replay the same
thing.
You
keep replaying the same thing over and again. That was a
theme this year at E3. There were so many games like that. Did you notice that?
No,
there were
not.
So many time loop games. Anyway, what's it? Forza 4 Lego, whatever.
That's cute.
Yeah, it was neat how the cars are made out of Lego. Said like Ferrari made out of Lego. So that's cool.
Forza is a great series, and I mean,
Project X Cloud.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to say about it. I mean,
turned your Xbox into a streaming server.
That was the good news about it, but it's also just like, okay, well, I mean,
PS4 already does.
Yeah,
that.
We got remote play now. Okay, that's good at least.
Yeah. So,
but you know, it's a thing.
Yeah, it's cool. And yeah. That's about it for Microsoft.
That's going to be like a flat-out, a full streaming service, though, other than just your Xbox, right? In the future?
I don't know.
They've been really vague on that.
I don't know.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if that is the Switch, the Switch partnership that we've heard about, rumored, because it's not coming out till October. I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, yeah, if you own an Xbox One, you can have it at home and then, like, connect to it with your Switch.
Hmm.
Because that's actually what I had heard, is that it was xCloud that's coming to the Switch. That's the only way they could do it. They can't put full console games on the Switch. It's not going to work. So
that's pretty much all there is to say about the Xbox conference.
Yeah, overall, they did exactly what they needed to do, which is announce a ton of cool games.
Yeah. The new Ori game looked pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up because I haven't played the first one, yeah. So I know it's like a Metroidvania game. Mm. And that's about it. So, overall, I'd say Xbox gets a thumb up.
Yeah.
One thumb up.
For sure. I was impressed.
Disappointed at the lack of details on the console. But aside from that... All right, moving on. We have Bethesda.
Oh, my God.
The greatest conference of all time.
So good.
Tell us about Bethesda, buddy.
They apologized a lot, kind of.
Yeah, they did. They're like, sorry that we suck and that Fallout 76 sucks.
But we're so thankful that you guys love it. Like, it was it was so strange. And, like, I pointed this out to you. It really felt like they definitely put like some like
you weren't the only one. There was a lot of people online saying that. Yeah,
yeah. They would zoom out of the audience and like no one's like doing anything, and then this one guy going yeah,
yeah.
So it's clear they like put microphones next to like these like probably Bethesda employees, and
yeah,
and they were just going nuts for every single thing they were announcing, including their mobile games.
They were going bananas.
Yeah.
For Fallout 76. Can't get enough of that stuff.
And then meanwhile, it's like continuing to like see slash prices because they can't give it away.
Yeah. It's trash. Yeah. It's trash. All right. So we got Wolfenstein Youngblood. That looks pretty neat.
Yeah. That's the new expansion coming out, right?
It's like a standalone type thing. But yeah. And it's a two-player simultaneous co-op shooter.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
So I could see me and you playing that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Wolfenstein games. I still need to play the second one, but I like the first one.
I got to play the first one.
But you played the second one, right?
No, I never played any of the Wolfenstein games yet.
Oh, but you like bought them on Switch, I think, or
No. I have the one on PS4 that you got for me really cheap.
Okay, that's right.
So I got to play that one eventually.
Elder Scrolls Blades is coming to Switch.
Cool.
It's like that mobile game.
Yeah.
For free.
Neat.
Rage 2 expansion, whatever. Not interested in that game, really. Deathloop. There's another time loop game. That's the one with the two like assassins trying to kill each other or whatever.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Colt and Juliana are stuck in the Black Reef, a place where chaos rules the streets. Shootouts can happen anywhere. Using dual-wielded Uzis, swords, blah, blah, blah. Two combatants fight to the death repeatedly.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I'm looking at it right now.
Another time loop game. Ghostwire. Tokyo action game from the makers of Evil Within. Another time loop game. This is the one where all the people, survival horror where everyone like disappears.
Yeah.
Modern day Japan. Looked pretty cool. Definitely somewhat interested in that. That might not have been a time loop game, actually, but...
No, it wasn't a time loop. It was that everyone's disappearing.
Yeah. They added NPCs to Fallout 76, bro.
Neat.
Big news. Big news.
Big news.
And then the big star of the show was Doom Eternal.
Oh, my God.
Looks so good.
No sarcasm for this one. This is such a great game.
It looks so good.
It looks amazing.
It was... My expectations were shattered because I was kind of like... Man, I'm worried because I'm worried that it's just going to be another Doom 2016. Well,
like Doom 2016.5, basically.
Yeah, just Doom 2016 with new levels and stuff. And yeah. That would have been fine, but it wouldn't have grasped me the same way that the first one did.
Yeah.
So I was like, I mean, what could they really do with this to keep me coming back? And they really blew my expectations out of the water. What did you think?
I mean, I feel the same way. I was just hooked into that trailer. I mean, like you said, all the platforming aspects to it.
They added so much.
Yeah.
And it's all like movement-based and platforming, and they added a dash. So it just, they added a bunch of stuff that seems to really mix up the way that the combat works, and that is the way to do it. That's the way to do it. And that's what I was worried. I was like, am I just going to have to sit through another 10 hours of basically like a copy of Doom 2016 with slightly yeah. better graphics or whatever? That's what I was concerned about. So I'm not concerned at all now because, yeah, it looks like they've added in so many different ways to mix the combat up, keep it fresh and unique. And yeah, it just looks nuts. If you haven't played Doom 2016 yet, pick it up. You can find it for like $10 on PS4 or whatever.
It's like $15 digitally right now on PS4, yeah.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to get it for what, like $5 on Switch on a Black Friday.
Oh my God,
price
did you get that
price error or whatever.
Oh, jeez.
Don't you remember that?
I do. I remember being like really butthurt about that.
Yeah, it was like a Black Friday Walmart yeah. price error, and it was like $5.
I paid like close to full price for the Switch version, but yeah.
Yeah, my brother got one too.
Oh, the Switch version?
Yeah, we were together on Thanksgiving, and I found out about it, and we both went over there.
Yeah, I'm gonna play probably the PS4 version with this one this time around, just because I got the Switch one because I was just like, I want like a cool big game to play on my Switch and take with me, but I love this game so much. I need to play it with like.
Looking forward to playing it on my PS4 Pro in 4K 60 frames a second.
But
I got to see that demon guts in 4K.
I mean, that was the Bethesda conference. That's really all it was. It was just really just about Doom.
Yeah, everyone was waiting for it. It looks so much fun. And oh, man, the online looks really cool.
I didn't really see too much details about it yet.
Really?
Did they
a big showing of it at the conference.
Did they?
Yeah, so it's like one human.
Oh, wow. It completely escaped me. Yeah, it's one human versus the two monsters. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's such a cool concept. Me and you love games like that. You know, we've talked a bunch about how much we played Friday the 13th. It's a similar mm-hmm. concept. And your demons can spawn other, like, NPC demons.
Yeah.
So you could. It's all about strategy. And the Doom Slayer has, like, all his weapons and whatnot. And it's just a really cool concept, really fun. Also, another theme of E3 seems to have been three-player multiplayer. Did you notice that?
I guess so.
A lot of games, and you know, normally the go-to is four. A lot of games had three-player multiplayer. Battletoads, Doom, and there were some other ones, too, that were just like...
You gave up one other example.
No, there's more. We'll bring it up when I get there.
We'll get to it.
But yeah, cool stuff overall.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was...
Yeah, and then I guess we might as well touch upon right real quickly. They brought up their own streaming service real quickly.
Orion,
yeah. They showed Doom playing with visually no... How do they word it? Where you couldn't notice the latency.
Oh, just...
Whatever, that like whatever.
Undetectable.
Like, undetectable latency on a phone. So... I mean, that stuff.
It looked
neat.
To be working.
Yeah, it looked good. I mean, same opinion about all streaming services so far about this stuff, but it's something.
I should have signed up for that.
Do you think Stadia is dead out of the water at this point? Just because like it feels like so many companies are going to be rolling out streaming services that.
No, because usually there's only two companies. Whenever a bunch of companies do one thing, there's only two companies that ever come out on top: Amazon and Google. So
yeah,
they're the only two companies that are big enough and have enough money to waste to stick it out long enough to win. True. Look at YouTube. Been around for 15 years or more, and it's never made money. And yet, here it is still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think that it's dead in the water. I think it's a matter of marketing and stuff. So, I think Bethesda's is dead out of the water.
Got your allergies bothering you?
Man, they've been so bad lately. Yeah. They've been so bad. So anyway, all right. Did you watch Ubisoft?
Unfortunately.
I did not. Thankfully, I did.
God, can you just go over it? Because it's a blur.
They're the worst, man. They're the absolute worst.
It was comedically bad.
Okay, so...
No, not even really funny. It was just awful.
They're so bad. They always are every year. Their games...
Okay, let's start with a positive, though. There is some positive in here. I will say that Watch Dogs looked good.
That's what everyone says, but whatever.
Did you watch anything
no.
about it?
No. I saw that people said it looked good.
They did, like...
But so did the first one.
They opened up with a very, very long gameplay footage of it, and it went on for a long time. And basically, the game is... You're part of a resistance group, and it's, like, set super in the future. Are you playing it right now or something?
I'm not quite sure what's happening.
Okay. Turn that shit off.
I'm finding the... video.
Let me just summarize it. People probably watched it.
Is this the actual...
I don't know what you're looking at right now.
Okay, be quiet, Ubisoft man.
Anyways.
Yeah, Watch Dogs.
It takes place in the future in London, and basically the government is... It's, you know, just like a...
Future.
It's just a setting where the government is completely taking over its people, and the people are resisting it. And so any single person in this London city you walk around can be potentially be someone you play with. And how it works is, like, you're all in an underground type resistance communicating with each other, and, like, you recruit new people and stuff, and, like, you'll lose, like, you could you know, you're playing as some guy named Mark who's a brawl type guy, and he's good at fighting people. And then there's, like, I don't know, like a girl.
What about the mailman?
I don't know, baby. Everybody has their own, like, skills and stuff. Like, one guy's good with, like, hacking the drones. They showed it. One was, like, literally an old lady who used to be an assassin, and she's, like, a really good hacker.
But can you just walk out on the street and be like, I want to play as that guy?
From what it looked like, you have, like, a set of people you start with, and then, like, you recruit people as time goes by.
So
and,
you can't, like, play as anyone in the game.
You basically can, yes. You can. Like, that's how they worded it. They said that, like, any single person, they're like, you want to be a hipster, gangster, don't matter, whatever. Every person walking around in the city is playable. I don't know how far they're really going to take this, but they say that, like, every single person has, like, their own backstory and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay.
And this is when I always get concerned about games like this that are just too big to
be good.
When
they make stuff that...
They're too big to be good.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is that you have these games that are super highly over-budget games, and they put so much money into the visuals of it and things like that, where it's just so over the top that how can you possibly have a good story out of this?
Well, the thing
just,
that I always...
there's just a cohesive story.
The thing that I always think about nowadays when I hear that is the latest Assassin's Creed.
Right, yeah.
And I listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff about people who've played the game, and it's like... Just to go through the story and ignore all the side quests and stuff, it sounds like it's a 60, 80-hour game, and there's just so much shit in that story. And you look at, you know, the classic Assassin's Creed map with a million little icons on the mini-map and stuff, and everyone that I hear is always just like, yeah, I put in, like, 80 hours to Assassin's Creed, and it was fun, and I really want to go back to it, but I, like, can't fell off of it because it was... And I just got to go back and finish it. And, like, from the sounds of it, it's like nobody finishes it because it's so much shit.
It's just so much. And how much of the gameplay can really be, like, interesting.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
How compelling could it possibly be?
Exactly. And that's why, I mean, like, it's a good trailer. Like, it was good gameplay. And I think...
At least they showed gameplay.
And I wanted to dislike it, like, when I was watching it. But like, when I watched the whole thing, I'm like... Honestly, that is, like, very impressive. It's just that I don't know if realistically this can be a good experience for so many hours.
This is exactly what happened with the first one, though. Everyone thought it looked amazing at E3, and then it was, like, lukewarm when it came out.
Right.
So
I mean, that could very well be the case with it as well. Like, I mean, it's happens a lot with these new modern games where you have these games that are just so over the top, over budget that they can't possibly live up to what they're selling.
Breath of the Wild is the ultimate open world game. It's large, but it's just enough, but there's just enough around the world to where you can do everything and still be interested and find new experiences every time. But not like it's not just an oversaturation of garbage where you're just like NPCs everywhere and things to do everywhere.
Right.
It's like,
well,
so.
I've honestly thought about this more recently about why, what makes a good open world game, or what makes a great game with a giant living, breathing world versus like a game that is just so much stuff that it's just not good. It's games like Breath of the Wild, like you said, and also games like Persona 5, where you have an entire like breathing city and everything around you and everything, mm-hmm. but they almost treat the NPCs around you like comic book characters, where like they're not going to put high emphasis on them,
yeah.
but you know they're there, and it makes you feel like you're part of something. And that, and but there's some, but the story elements are not hindered by the outside world itself,
right?
And I think that's like the biggest issue that a lot of new games like these have.
Well, because in a game like Assassin's Creed, you could get distracted with a side quest and end up being off the beaten path for like 40 hours and not even, you know, that's the last, it's been 40 hours since you've touched story at all.
Right, and that tells me that you don't have a real direction for your game, you just have a bunch of ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I'm not writing this game off.
But like, you're worried, but that's the case.
That's my concern with it.
Okay, well, there was apparently a Rainbow Six Quarantine, like an online co-op game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blah, blah.
Roller Champions, Ubisoft's answer to Rocket League. How'd that look?
I don't even remember.
It's like a roller skating game that looks like a arena sports, PvP sports multiplayer game with a ball.
My eyes might have glazed over.
Three hoops. Apparently. Okay, I'm guessing it's not a great looking game then. Didn't see that one. Okay, Ghost Recon, shooting game. Yeah, this is, man, none of this appeals to us. Gods and Monsters. What's that? Little fighting giant warrior man, apparently. That's like literally what it says.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah.
Okay. And this is why I did not watch the Ubisoft conference.
I mean, they did a very long dance number with Let's Dance 2020.
Cool. Coming to the Wii. All right.
Yep.
I did watch the EA one. Man, that was embarrassing.
I didn't watch the EA one.
Oh, boy. That was embarrassing. They spent most of their time talking about Apex Legends skins and guns
no.
and stuff. Yeah, it was bad. I tuned out around then.
Promoted their EA store and stuff, I imagine.
Apparently they brought up Anthem at one point. I was tuned out for by then. They showed off their Star Wars game. Did you see anything about the Star Wars game?
No.
You haven't seen anything from it?
Oh, I mean, didn't Xbox have a trailer for it? The new
I guess,
Star
but
Wars?
I don't know if they showed much play. I watched like 14 minutes of gameplay on EA's conference.
The new Jedi, another Jedi Star Wars game?
It's like called like Fallen Jedi or some shit.
Yeah.
Everyone seems to be excited for this game. I think it looks like shit. You gotta remember, this is from EA, the people who just did Anthem and like Star Wars Battlefront 2 and stuff. So I'm not sure why you would be optimistic about this. It looks like your typical Western AAA trash game, where it's just the most linear thing you've ever played. You're walking down hallways and occasionally slashing it like stormtroopers and stuff. That's what it looked like. It was very like, it was always clear what the game wanted you to do and what you're supposed to do next. Like, you come to a dead end, but there's a weird colored vine hanging on the wall, and it's like you climb up the vine. You know, it's stuff like that. So it didn't look impressive to me. I don't know. I was lukewarm on it. It's not something that I'm too interested in. But one thing that I did watch a conference was Limited Run Games.
Oh, yeah, we can get into that one.
And they announced, we don't want to get too much into it because they don't have new
announcements.
Well, I mean,
it's not a new
announcement.
Like it's a physical. People who don't, Limited Run is just a physical announcement.
Right, but
really
one of the things that I did get excited for.
They do announce new games, though, too, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I did get announced or excited for was the big Star Wars announcement.
Yeah, that was their big surprise at the end, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not as cool as I thought it was, because when they originally showed the trailer and showed it off, I think everybody else thought that they were
like,
it was
a collection?
Yeah, it was a collection, or they're releasing remasters for PS4 or whatever, or Switch. That's what everybody got excited for, and then I tuned into their stream afterwards. They didn't tell you shit in the presentation. They just showed the trailer, and then
They had a Q&A like stream afterwards. I didn't see it.
Yeah, and I don't know if I told you this or not. I thought I did, but all the games that they announced, the Star Wars games, and they announced a ton of them. I mean,
they're
going to
be
like
separate releases.
Jedi actually. Knight, TIE Fighter, X-Wing, Pod Racer, just like every classic Star Wars game. Here's the thing. They are releases on their original platforms. They are literally just like shiny new re-releases. So like Pod Racer is a N64 game, like an N64 cart. That's what they're shipping.
No.
Yes. TIE Fighter is a PC game. They're really, which.
I don't understand. You must have misunderstood because the new Star Wars game, the first one they announced is a PS4 release.
Yes, that one is a PS4 release because that game exists on PS4 as a downloadable title. But on the same day as that game is being released, which is only in like 2 weeks, they're releasing Star Wars for the NES, and it's an NES cartridge or a Game Boy cartridge. So, yeah, so like basically when I hear that, I'm like, okay, Star Wars Pod Racer is like a $9 game on N64, and now they're trying, it's just a, like some custom box art repro basically for $60 versus a $10 game.
I understand what their intention is at this point.
Right, and the problem is that, like, here's the thing. I was excited because like X-Wing and TIE Fighter and stuff, I was like, oh, nice. They're going to come to a console.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, that was my big excitement in that
yes,
trailer.
Yes, exactly. Same with Pod Racer. I'm like, oh, yeah. Sweet. Like a remastered Pod Racer. I don't play. I love those games, but I don't play them because the X-Wing and TIE Fighter games, because you, like, need a flight stick to play them.
Yeah.
They play like shit if you don't have a joystick, like an old school one from the 90s. They don't play right. And even still, it's like really old school PC game where it's like the controls are really convoluted. You have to use like the entire keyboard to do like little things in your TIE Fighter. It's just, it's not.
Didn't age well.
Yeah, it didn't age well. And but it's solely because of the controls and stuff.
Yeah.
The game itself is cool. So I was like, oh, cool. Like modern controlled X-Wing and TIE Fighter games. Awesome. Pod Racer, awesome. I can play that on my Switch and stuff. I fucking love that game so much. One of my favorite racers of all time. And then it's just, okay, it's an N64 game. Well, I already own the N64 game. So, you know, I don't need. It's just a weird thing. I don't see what the market is for it.
Yeah.
I really don't. So, yeah, I've never been into their PC releases either, and most of the games that they announced are PC releases.
I was excited about Corpse Killer.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why. It's a bad game.
Yeah, it's terrible, but it's just, I love that they keep pushing out these games from, God, what is it, Double Image Studio? What's that studio called? Digital Picture Studio, rather.
Yeah.
Digital Picture Studios. I love that they keep pushing those out, and it's a game series that I just never would. Those games, I never saw those full motion video games ever getting like preserved like that. So I think that stuff's cool. Papers Please for Vita looks really cool. I never played it, and like now I want to play that game. I never even knew existed.
I'm going to. You didn't know that game existed?
No, I knew nothing about it.
Oh wow!
The trailer popped up. And I'm like, this looks awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna get that.
Yeah, that's.
I mean,
that's a for sure.
Yeah. So. For you, as a digital boy.
I mean, it's a digital at this point for me,
just
but
download it.
Yeah.
You know, you should have right then and there.
I already have.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so I've known about it for a few years now, and I've always been interested, but I never got around to playing
it. Yeah,
but
Papers, Please is like a border control game, basically, right?
Yeah, it's almost like a, it's like, it seems like almost like a very like mental endurance game, where you have to look through the papers and make educated decisions. And it seems like the game focuses on like trying to get you to like slip up basically.
Yeah.
So you need to like stay on your toes and pay close attention and whatnot.
Yeah.
It seems really cool. It fits right into the theme too. The day the trailer came out was like the day I finished Chernobyl. So, which is very heavily Soviet Union.
I got to watch this show.
Yeah. It's really good. It's, you know, do a little middle of the road here podcast TV show review. Highly recommend Chernobyl. Best TV show I've seen in many years.
Where's it on?
It was HBO series.
Okay.
But it's on my Plex.
Okay.
Five episodes. It's a mini series.
All right. I'll watch the show.
Yeah. It's five episode mini series.
You sold me. All right. Well, I do want to touch upon real quickly of note. Oh, by the way, Limited Run announced their very first 3DS game.
Probably their very last one, too.
Probably, but I did like, as much as they make bad decisions lately, they also make really good decisions, too, because their 3DS release is literally an entire collection of that, what studio is that called? The one that made Mutant Muds. It's all of their games, which that studio did a lot of great 3DS releases back in the day.
They didn't try to just pound everyone in the ass.
I thought for sure that it was going to be all like separate releases for those.
$30 a piece.
It wasn't. Like, yeah. So, kudos to them for doing that. That looks great. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I mean, they announced their final slew of media titles, which we already said Papers, Please was among them. Honestly, kind of a not really great list of last Vita games, but...
It wasn't good.
What can you do? Like, it's the end of the run. That's it. And all these games are already printed, by the way. They already have them all like in their facilities, as far as I'm concerned, because they stopped...
Yeah, I ordered a Vita game recently, and I got it like a couple weeks later.
Like the Blood... Which one was it?
I don't remember.
Okay. Cool game. probably Nurse Love.
Yeah, I think that was
Nurse
it.
Love then. Yeah.
Yeah, I already have that.
Yeah. So, Vita games are still in production in Asian facilities, but as far as North America, Western facilities, you can't order them anymore. Anyways, so that was that, and then
my name is Taylor, and I'm a TV producer.
What are you doing? What are you doing right now?
This shit just plays on its own, man. This is websites nowadays.
You can, there's a mute button on your laptop, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're being real Pat NES Punk right now with this.
It's come full circle.
It really has. God. Anyways.
I've muted it.
There was also just another quick shout out to another small developer conference was Devolver's conference was pretty funny.
Yeah, theirs is always
that
great.
That was really cool. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. What's that one? My Friend Pedro or whatever? That looks neat.
Oh, My Friend Pedro?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks great. I just finished Hotline Miami, and it looks basically like Hotline Miami 3D.
Well, like it kind of looks almost like it makes you feel like John Wick or someone. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, that's what those Hotline Miami games feel like.
Meh.
I feel like that.
No.
What? Why not?
They're pretty simple. You just run into the room and, like, you know, shoot people
well,
and stuff.
It's an overhead game.
Yeah, no, this looks way more involved.
Yeah, yeah.
The only thing I'm worried about is how it actually controls for the game. So our friend Michael Neely, he's really interested in it. I told him, let me know how it is.
Okay.
So I will report back here.
They also announced something crazy, which was that Enter the Gungeon is getting an arcade cabinet.
Yeah.
And House of the Gun Dead. You say that, but I don't understand, like, how much does a new modern arcade machine cost these days?
I don't know, but it didn't look that modern. Like, you could tell, I see this a lot. They had one at that arcade you took me to.
Arcade Monsters, yeah.
Where it's almost like a mobile game. I see these around a lot now, where it's like a mobile game in an arcade machine. And
it's a light gun
tell,
game, though.
You can tell immediately, you can point them out when they're in arcade because they have a much lower like build quality to them.
Well, maybe it doesn't.
And, I don't know. It's a lot.
It's a light gun game though too. I mean, like you can't just pump those out.
I'm
on, like, regular
I'm very curious. Yeah, I'm very curious how it works.
So
I imagine it's probably like a Wii Pointer type thing.
No, I really doubt.
How
that.
Else would they do it?
What do you mean? How else they do that? They've done modern shooters like forever. Like the
true.
Doesn't need
like
it. Doesn't
time
need,
crisis.
Yeah, it doesn't
stuff.
Need a CRT TV.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man. I'm stupid. Here you go. Outriders. Another three-player co-op game Square Enix.
Which one was this one?
The Square Enix one that you love so much.
I didn't say I loved it so much. I was just surprised that you didn't watch it. He didn't watch the Square Enix conference, but he watches the E3 one.
The E3 one?
The EA one.
I watched the first 15 minutes of the EA one for Star Wars.
I didn't watch the whole Square Enix, by the way. I didn't have a chance to because, yeah, I was working last night, and then I tried to watch it before the Nintendo
So the Square
conference.
Enix conference?
Yeah, mostly about Final Fantasy VII.
Outriders. Really. Final Fantasy VIII Remaster, I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
It's like the only...
They've neglected that one for a long time.
Yeah, it was the only Final Fantasy game that they never re-released in the 3D era. And it's my favorite numbered Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Because you can break the game really easily with the card game stuff in it. And it's, I always like that aspect because I hate grinding.
Yeah.
In RPGs. So it's also a childhood game that I played. So you have that. You have Crystal Chronicles Remastered. We've talked about that before, but I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Octopath Traveler is now on Steam. Dragon Quest Builders 2, which they've showed before. Dragon Quest XI Definitive Edition coming to Switch. They already announced that a few months ago. Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC, whatever.
Nope.
And then a bunch of other random games. And then you have this Outriders game, another three-player co-op game, Bowman. That's three now.
There's three of them.
That's, I mean, it's a strange amount of players to have. So you don't usually see that. You see two or four.
E3, Illuminati confirmed.
Yeah. There's the three E's. Or there's the E3s. The three player games.
Oh, my God.
Outriders. Okay, so that's the co-op survival game. Final Fantasy VII Remake. It's coming March, I believe.
That and, was incredible.
It was... it doesn't seem like they're doing it in episodes anymore.
Yeah. Well, when this got leaked the day before. Pretty sure the day before?
Mm-hmm.
Or even the morning of, I don't even know which, that the release date got announced with like the collector's edition and all that stuff. But even just seeing that, the fact that it's not in episodes, made me
really
happy. It's
on two discs.
Yes, two Blu-ray discs. Yeah, he mentioned that. And I'm more than happy about that. And they showed off a full gameplay of like a full boss battle and stuff, a new extended trailer.
I might very well get this one when it's cheap. Because I never really played it, and
you never played Final Fantasy VII.
I played a little bit of it, but I didn't play through. I don't like know the story or anything. It's obviously critically acclaimed. Everyone loves the story, and it's a classic that I've never gotten to play. I was never interested in playing it because the original is not a great RPG. Like it just the combat and stuff. It's not very inspired. It's just kind of whatever.
It was just a Final Fantasy RPG. Like they didn't push the envelope quite. The envelope pushing was just the first Final Fantasy in a 3D world like that, and all the mini games within it, and the story. And everything.
Sure. So
So
I can't deal with playing an RPG that doesn't have fun combat for like 40 hours or whatever. So I never got into it. But this is not a turn-based RPG. It looks great visually, and
the gameplay actually I was skeptical about, and I really liked the gameplay they showed off of it because I was worried it's basically just Kingdom Hearts, and it kind of is, but not really. Like, I love that you can switch between the party members, and like, you can either have quick shortcuts for a lot of these abilities and stuff, and just, you know, do a thing, or you can like go to the abilities and it literally just freezes time for a moment and gives you like a turn based type style to it. So I think having that kind of option between having either a super fast paced battle or having a very strategic battle was a great decision to at least try to appease turn-based people like me.
Yeah, so it looks interesting. I mean, I won't buy it when it first comes out, but they're going to print so many copies of this thing I'll find it for $20 in less than a year.
I'm not finding it any cheaper in Japan anytime soon, though. I'm probably going to buy a pretty expensive copy of it. I mean, well, rather, I'm not getting it cheap.
But this is not a remaster or even a remake. This is essentially an entirely
new
game.
It's an entire brand new game, yeah.
Yeah, it's not anything like the original.
No.
So, yeah, pretty cool.
I'm very pleased with that.
And that's both basically what they spent most of their...
It's not the beginning talking about.
Then I guess they have this Avengers game here. What did you think of that? I didn't see the trailer.
I didn't even watch it.
Apparently it's different than... I thought it was like going to be one of those crappy Marvel Ultimate Alliance type things. But apparently it's almost like I've heard it compared to what's that online shooter from Bungie?
Online shooter from Bungie?
Bungie?
Overwatch?
No.
Oh, from
Halo
Bungie.
One.
Oh, from Bungie, not Blizzard.
The Halo thing. The Halo clone. Online shooter. We're not true gamers.
Not Destiny?
That one.
Destiny.
I've heard this game compared to Destiny before. Recently. So this is a new Avengers game. Everyone knew about it, like it was coming out, but nobody knew the details. I guess you weren't paying attention at all during the trailer.
No, I mean, I didn't. I told again, I didn't get to watch the entire Square conference because it was on last night when I was working. And I
you're
woke
pathetic.
Up. I woke up this morning from you're my pathetic. Late job to try and watch before the conference, you're but pathetic. Didn't have time.
Okay, well, I just skipped through the trailer and they didn't show any gameplay. So
that's what I ended up doing. I ended up skipping through all that conference a little bit.
They didn't show any gameplay. It's coming next year in May. Okay, so that was Square Enix. And that brings us to the big kahuna.
Nintendo.
Nintendo, the only conference that actually announced like a lot of cool stuff, really. I mean, when it comes down to it. Obviously, we've always been biased towards Nintendo, but it's rare for them to come out to these conferences and disappoint. They always have surprises that nobody knows about. Like, Square Enix, everybody knew about Avengers, everybody knew about Final Fantasy VII. The only surprise they had is they were re-releasing a 20-year-old game, Final Fantasy VIII. Like, that was the big news. So anyway, Nintendo, why don't you get us started off?
You know, I mean, you have the laptop in front of you
here. I don't think this has been updated yet with Nintendo's information. So, just start from the
top.
Well,
we right away opened up with Smash Brothers. We got...
DLC, yeah.
The DLC for Dragon Quest Hero. So, it's just... It's big for people
we knew that.
Who love Dragon Quest, and we all knew this was coming. So.
We knew that such a long time ago.
Yeah.
It
just makes total sense to do it. Like, it just... There was no... It's a no-brainer for them. I mean...
Well, especially...
Dragon Quest is so... gigantic over there, and they're about to release that new Dragon Quest for the Switch. It's
yeah, and then they talked about that game for a while, which they've talked about before, so it was weird that they
it's a very important franchise for them, but I think they even realize that like most of the world doesn't really care.
Well, it's tough to get into a franchise when you're
just
like
much.
Hey, Dragon Quest 11, it's like where
right.
are the other
and
ones?
That's exactly what like I think of when I see that series. I'm like, man, I really wish I was into this because it looks up my alley, but like it's too late. I feel like I just missed that train a long time ago.
Yeah. So, and then they focused a lot on Luigi's Mansion 3. Which they have not changed the title to. I thought for sure they would.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Luigi's Mansion. Great. First game is amazing. Second game was all right. And I just wasn't... It makes more sense on a console.
Mm-hmm.
And so so we go to Luigi's Mansion 3, and I do think this will probably be a really cool installment to the series.
It looked good. It made me... I've never finished the first game.
Oh, really?
I've played through, like, a decent amount of it, but I never finished it, and that makes me want to go back and play that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it looks cool.
That's co-op aspect to it. They also had an online multiplayer aspect to it.
Yeah, what was the online multiplayer like?
Like a minigame thing where you get to, like, go around and save the toads and, like, find the things, and I think almost like a horde-type thing, too,
right.
It looked like. So
they should have added in, just for shits and giggles, the Luigi's Mansion Wii U party game.
That
was like the best part
that
of
that. That was like the best part of that, yeah, for sure.
So it's going to be lost forever on that dumb console. They should have
it. Only
just
really works
it.
On that dumb console, though.
No, it doesn't.
I guess you could do it online.
It's Pac-Man Versus, basically.
Yeah.
Well, and they have Pac-Man Versus on the Switch. So you just need two Switches. That's it.
Okay.
What?
No.
Just admit you're wrong, and we'll move on.
That's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
So what'd you think? So you thought it looked good? You're going to buy this?
Yeah. I mean, I will. I'm not, like, overly hyped about I mean, I like Luigi's Mansion. It's just that I think the second one just kept... This made me so, like, whatever about it.
How much did you play of it?
Probably, like, half of it.
Yeah.
And,
It's longer than the first one, isn't it?
It is much longer than the first
That's
one.
That's why I didn't play it. It's like, I don't like playing games like that on the 3DS.
Yeah. It's just... When I played it for a long period of time, I'm just like, I really would just rather play this on console. Like, and, yeah, so.
Cadence of Hyrule, the Crypt of the Necrodancer spinoff.
Yeah.
They showed that. It's coming this week, June 13th.
Yeah. Looks great.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
No More Heroes 3 was announced. Did you ever play those games?
No, it's the super gory game for the Wii, right?
No, I don't think it's that gory. I think you might be thinking
black
of like
and white?
Mad World.
Wow, I always mix those games up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
This is by the same people that did like Killer 7. It's a Suda 51.
Mm.
This is the one with like the guy with the laser sword.
Right, and they just did a second one, but it was really just a bunch of mini
games.
No,
that
wasn't
was
it?
A spinoff. So.
Oh, okay.
Second one was for the Wii as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so. I guess I know nothing about this series then.
Yeah, it was fine. Has their classic style, of, you know, like humor and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I'm sure that'll make some people happy. I probably won't get it just because I didn't play the first two. And
yeah,
it's like a hack and slash game. I'm not into those. Pokemon Ball Plus, Pokeball Plus will be able to be used with Sword and Shield. I was annoyed that they showed anything from that after doing an entire direct the other day. I'm like, I don't care. Why could you not have put this 30-second clip about the Pokeball in that there? Deus Ex Machina coming out September. Still, like, that game is going to flop so hard.
Because I don't know what they're selling me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what it, I don't get what this game is.
It's coming out in 3 months. I've seen three trailers now, and I'm just like, I have no idea.
It's just CG mech trailers, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what the... Is there a story to it? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, that game is going to flop hard, because if I don't know what it is, your average casual person has no fucking clue that it even exists, probably.
And it's not like its design is anything like that sticks out that much.
No. No, and like everything's the same color.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Oh, they announced a new Contra game is coming to the Switch.
Yeah, you're excited about this one.
It looks like dog shit.
Yeah.
As a casual Contra fan, what did you think of this?
Well, when the trailer first popped up, I knew, you just told me that the new, I guess it got leaked, that a new Contra game was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just watching it, and I went, oh no, is this the new, because I already didn't care that a new Contra game was coming out, to be frank.
Mm-hmm.
And
you don't like run and gun shooters?
I do, but a lot of times when these new modern ones come out, they don't, I just have no...
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, maybe like from NT Creates type thing or whatever.
Yeah,
like.
I mean, it potentially could be good, but like just hearing that it was coming wasn't enough for me.
Right.
Because a company being like, we're going to slap this name on this new game isn't really that valuable to me anymore. So...
It was kind of mind-boggling.
When I saw this trailer, I was just like, this is it, isn't it? Oh my god. It looks like a mobile game, like PS2 mobile game, like
it was bad. It looked like a not even an HD game. It was all jagged and like blurry. It looked like they were playing it on composite video.
Yeah.
So it was honestly one of the worst trailers I've ever seen in my life. Like, I don't know what they were thinking, like putting that footage out, because it genuinely looked awful. Like, visually. And then, on top of that, they... Good old Konami. They'll find a way to fuck it up. They made a Contra game, basically, that's like the old PS2 and PS1 games that, like, nobody liked and got panned. There's, like, one good game in that era, and all the rest were these weird, like, third-person, over-the-shoulder... shooters, and nobody liked them. They were all bad, and here we are. So, you know what? They released a trailer in like 2011 that was like, Contra is coming, and that's the last time they ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So a lot of people just assume this is that game that they've had shelved since the Wii, and that's why it looks so shitty too. And they just were like, oh, okay, well, we have this game that was like half done. Like 8 years ago. And that would make sense, because it genuinely looks like a Wii game.
Yeah.
That's how bad it looks.
Yep.
So, and then, yeah, it's just a mind-boggling one. And it also makes sense, because 8 years ago, they probably still were doing those shitty over-the-shoulder ones, you know? So, yeah, it's kind of a head-scratcher, because I don't know what they were thinking. Like, nobody cares about those style of Contra games. So, yeah. Mind-boggling. Panzer Dragoon Remake coming out.
It's coming.
You were excited about this.
Yeah, I'm excited. But as you pointed out to me, a Panzer Dragoon like remaster has already been done before.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a new game.
Yeah, I was hoping for it to like say Panzer Dragoon and then like slowly have like
Saga.
The Saga logo pop up.
Because that would have been
huge. If anybody knows, that game is like $500 billion to play.
Yeah, that would have been huge, man. Yeah. That would have been so huge for more than one reason. I bet you the cost of the original would go down. Yeah, that would be big. I don't know why Sega doesn't do that.
I bet it'll happen eventually.
I hope so. It's widely considered to be like the best RPG of the era, better than Final Fantasy VII, and well, we just described like Final Fantasy VII isn't particularly amazing. So
well, you said that.
I mean, list off two things that it did that were unique.
I mean, I'm not trying to say that it was like that it was unique. I'm just saying that like it would that overall the gameplay battle I liked it back then.
Yeah. Right. This was a neat little segment they did, the Resident Evil.
Yeah.
And the mansion. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, just break into an old mansion to play Resident Evil.
Yeah, I texted you and said maybe Nintendo shouldn't be proposing that people go in and abandon buildings in the middle of the woods and play their Nintendo Switch.
Thank you, Capcom. I can also pay too much money for 5 and 6 Resident Evil on my Switch.
Everyone's
now.
Favorite yeah. Resident Evils.
Like, I'm glad that they're just putting these all out here, but the...
Should have did a compilation.
Should have done a compilation. Right now, you can buy Resident Evil 0 for $30 on the Switch and the Resident Evil 1 remaster for $30, which is far too much when that game has been, like, ported over a billion times for cheap as hell now. It's just... I'm not like a fool and just think companies are just going to basically put out these games. Like, people are like, oh, this game's $2 on Steam right now. Like, I'm not that stupid. But
yeah,
$30 is just outrageous.
This one game they showed was kind of weird. Empire of Sin. It's like the gangster.
It looked
like a crappy mobile game.
It was a thing. Yeah,
I'm not even sure exactly what the game was like.
Now, not that it's just discounted, but the trailer was barely worth and even anything.
Dark Crystal Tactics RPG. That also kind of looked like a mobile game though. From Netflix.
Yeah.
Netflix games. Witcher 3 Complete Edition coming to Switch. You know, big deal, whatever.
Yeah.
$60 game that you can get for $10 on PS4. Yeah. And then they showed off more of Link's Awakening. It's coming September 20th. And you can create your own dungeons, apparently, like a sort of create it. Not really, but yeah. So they added a little dungeon randomizer, and it's coming September 20th, $60. What do you think?
I mean, what do I think about what specifically?
Link's Awakening, $60 coming September 20th.
Are you asking me how do I feel about the price?
In general, how do you feel about the game?
It looks great. I'm going to buy it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Looks really nice. Like the look of it. $60 for a Game Boy game, though.
You keep saying that, and it's just...
It's
not a fucking Game Boy game.
You're charging the same amount for a game that came out on the Game Boy, so it is a Game Boy-length game. You're charging the same amount that you charge for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't already have a Zelda game... And you go into a store and you're like, I'm going to buy a Zelda game. And you see those two games sitting next to each other on the shelf for the same price. What are you going to do? You're not going to buy The Link's Awakening. It's kind of like they haven't showed that they've added any content to it really to make it longer than a Game Boy game. And that's the thing. It's just, I don't know if you've played it before, but it's a short game.
I don't know. I mean, the price point doesn't bother me as much as it does you. It's just how I feel about it. I mean, it's Nintendo. Like, they're remaking one of their beloved games. They're going to charge full price.
Yeah, it's just kind of confusing because they do release some, like, $40 games sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same company that put Tropical Freeze for $20 at Wii U one point and then... Rolled 60, it out for Switch for $60.
Added Funky Kong and called it a day.
And called it a day. So, I mean, that I will get behind and be pissed about. But this, I'm just like, it is what it is.
I mean, it is made from the ground up, and I understand that. Yeah. But even if it was any other company, it would be like a $30 game, probably.
Maybe.
Because it's essentially like an indie game. As far as its style and its scope, this is like a game I would expect to see on like the eShop.
Yoshi's Crafted World was $60, dude. I mean, like, this is
Yoshi's Crafted World is a full length modern day platformer.
It's a very short full platformer that's And you
well, I'd like to see the sales figures on Yoshi's Crafted World because I'm, you know, not sure it sold very well at that $60 point.
Yeah.
Okay. This was the moment I've been waiting for years now. The Animal Crossing announcement where I got cranked because it's delayed till 2020.
Called it.
But it looks amazing. Tell us about Animal Crossing.
It's coming out on the Switch.
Okay.
In March 2020. Yeah, so it opens up and it's got like you're on a tent, like putting like a little like
you're on a deserted island.
Yeah, and like you can set up your area. Like it's got like crafting abilities to it. Looks like you can go out and like it was a very brief trailer, so it left a lot of people online skeptical about the gameplay, you included, and yeah,
I was confused about a lot of things.
Yeah, like because it definitely I guess I can understand some of the concerns because it was a lot of things were very unlike Animal Crossing within the trailer, which is the crafting aspect and the fact that you could like modify the town in real time.
You could just like dig your own streets.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, and like in the past, like through the New Leaf version, you had for a lot of things you had to go to the mayor's office and like get and pay off something, and then it would get built eventually.
You can also just place things wherever you want now. So you can like set your own benches around, you can plant your own, you can create your own, like you could take your bed and throw it on the beach and sleep it there. Like, so that was another thing. This, it seems like so I talked to you about this and already, but it seems like the natural progression, and this is what Nintendo does. If they don't have a reason to make a new game, they won't do it. Like if they're not pushing the game further. So you couldn't expect for them to make an Animal Crossing game and it basically just be like New Leaf, but with some new items and stuff, because they just weren't going to do it unless they're pushing the gameplay further. Crafting games are more popular now. It's in a lot of different games. And frankly, it gives you more of a reason to do things like chop down trees and smash rocks and whatnot. Also, I watched the 20-minute gameplay of it, and what I said to you was, that basically it's like mostly generic stuff, like a signpost, just a wooden bench, some basic wooden tools, things like that. That's what you craft. And then for the like flashy furniture and things, you can buy it from the store.
There's still like a town square and stuff with shops and stuff.
Yeah.
It seems, at least.
Mm-hmm.
This is the gameplay footage is just from like the first few moments of the game.
Right. So, yeah, it looks like it improved in a lot of different ways. They have the co-op, like on-screen co-op together. So
did they really get into that much at all?
Yeah.
Like what that actually means?
Yeah, no, they played the co-op right there.
Right, but I mean, like, are these just temporary visitor characters?
No. So you have a smartphone. Your character has a smartphone, and it's got different apps and stuff on it. And you pull up your smartphone, and you call someone who's living in your town. So, like, I would call my wife if we're in the same town. And you call them, and then that triggers the multiplayer, and you just hand them the Joy-Con or whatever.
So, okay, so four people can live in one town again type deal?
Up to eight,
okay.
And you... And all, you can, like, so basically if I'm doing something and I need help doing it, I can call her and she can play with me and we can both, like, chop down trees and shit together and collect.
Can I live in your town online?
They said something like that, but it wasn't made clear.
Yeah.
Wasn't made clear. I don't imagine so, because that would require either, like, an online connection all the time or... Like, you could probably live in my town, but only when I'm hosting.
Well, kind of, that's a Stardew Valley is, basically.
Yeah, that's not even slightly really appealing to me. Because why would you waste your time living in my town occasionally?
Yeah, I guess it's true.
That's one of the reasons why I never really got into Stardew Valley online, is because if I want to play the game, then I have to make sure that the other person is on at the same time and stuff. It's like, okay, so then all that does is create, now I have two towns. And I'm splitting my time up between the two towns.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why when people play Minecraft online, you pay for a server to be up 100% of the time. So whoever can come in and play whenever they want. That's really the best way to do it. So, yeah, unless it's like a thing where it requires an internet connection at all times and it's always uploading your town or whatever, I don't think so. You probably can, but I don't see the draw of it. But you can visit each other's towns and, yeah, so.
Okay.
But, yeah, it looked neat. You know, you can choose who the leader is of the party when you do that, and then
that person controls the camera and stuff, I guess.
Well, right? Yeah, and also, like, you can share tools. So, like, when you equip, if the leader of the party equips, like, an axe, you both do, I think, or
it's
something.
It's not split screen at all is what I'm asking, right?
It was hard to discern because they didn't go far enough away from each other.
Okay.
It didn't seem like it, but at the same time, maybe it was. I don't know. So, it was clear that they were very limited on what they could show.
Yeah, I mean, the game's not coming out for, like, it was 9 months, maybe?
It was a demo program for E3.
Yeah.
Like, when they started the game up, Tom Nook and the Suns greet you, and they're like, hi, thanks for tuning in to our E3, like, play, let's play, or whatever. So, yeah. It was programmed specifically for this event. So, they were limited on what they could do. Decorating the house is improved. You can move things half unit instead of a full unit, so you can become more creative. And you can have, like, yards and stuff. It looks really cool. You can craft a pole so you don't have to walk over the bridges to get over the rivers and stuff.
Well, I'm happy that you're... I mean, I'm happy about the game, too, but I'm just definitely... I like Animal Crossing, but I feel like... I always felt like you dive into it a lot more than I do. So I'm happy that you're at least pleased with what they showed.
Yeah. I mean, I'll have to play it to really... figure out what I think of it, but it honestly looks like it might even be more addicting, because if you've ever, I don't know how much you've ever looked into, like, when I was into Minecraft, but some of the things that I'm best at and things that I'm most interested in when it comes to these games is, like, landscaping and stuff, and now that they make that really easy to do, like, that was my specialty in Minecraft, was, like, making things, like, making, like, pathways with, like, plants and stuff and things of that nature, and gardens and whatnot. So the fact that you could do that really easily, like, you know, just, like, little touches. Like, I saw in the trailer there was, like, a yard in front of one of the animals' houses that's, like, got, like, a grill and, like, a bench and stuff out front. It just looks like an old 50s-style American home.
I wonder if they'll try to tie in the mobile game stuff with it.
They didn't mention anything like that, and it's funny you mentioned that, actually, because on the trailer, they're like, yeah, the game's not coming out until March, so please understand, but Pocket Camp's out right now. So
that's great.
And I think I was just like, fuck you. So, yeah, I don't want to play that shit. I've tried to play it. It's just, I don't do mobile games, period.
They surprisingly... Yeah, like, didn't make I they didn't make it, like, the highlight of the conference.
What, Animal Crossing?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of was, but they didn't, like.
It was the final announcement, sort of. But it was the final announcement before the one more thing, which we're about to get to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was at the end of the conference.
Well, they had, like, a big compilation right after that.
Sure, but that's not an announcement. That's just like, okay, now that we've shown you everything, here's the list of all the games that are coming out, and then. So, yeah, Animal Crossing. Very excited. March 20th, 2020. Definitely buying it. Going to be a day one purchase. And then the big kahuna, something that I've been saying on this podcast for about a year now that I think would happen, which is they formally announced a sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
And it is a direct sequel. Same Zelda and Link. Same universe. And it looks spooky, dark, themed. Looks cool. Looks amazing, honestly. I mean, it's the same. They zoomed out. They take you out to that overworld. It's the same world, it looks like. So I'm sure...
Probably using the same assets and stuff, I imagine.
Well, clearly. I mean, that was made clear in the trailer. I would assume, if I had to guess, probably that will be maybe their big holiday game next year.
Yeah.
They didn't say when it's coming. They just said, but if they can get it out, it will be their big holiday game next year. They didn't say when it was coming, but they said, they showed a little trailer, it's cinematic, and it looked really dark in tone and stuff, much like Majora's Mask. I'm sure that's what they're going for. And they said the sequel to Breath of the Wild is now in development.
Yeah.
Some people thought it was a prequel, but someone pointed out, no, they specifically used the phrase sequel.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could assume it's the sequel.
And why would you want to play a prequel? Like,
right. Well, because the entire game is about piecing together what happened before. So yeah. You already know the story.
You want the game to end with Zelda basically borderline dying? Like, and like, yeah, like, no.
Yep.
Not interested. No.
I'm excited about that. Breath of the Wild is one of, if not my favorite game of all time. So a sequel is much wanted.
There was a bunch of other noteworthy things to talk about. What was it called? Astral Chain?
Well, they've shown that off before, but yeah, it's Platinum game.
Yeah, yeah.
Platinum game hack and slash, like Bayonetta or whatever.
I'm curious about that one. Yeah, in the compilation, they showed off a lot of things that like, another Microsoft game, that Tale, whatever it's called.
Super Lucky's Tale.
That's coming out. Also, the Spyro remaster is getting put on Switch now.
I thought we already known that for a long time.
They've never announced it.
Oh.
No.
Well, if it's anything like the, for me physically, if it's anything like the PS4 release, uninterested. You know the story behind that, right?
The download only?
It's the trilogy, but it's only the first game.
Yeah. Well, oh well.
But yeah, and then, what is that thing called? Ni No Kuni remastered on Switch.
Yeah.
That Secret of Mana collection.
Oh, right. This was cool for me. Well, first off, they announced Trials of Mana. It's a complete overhaul of that game, and that's coming out. But also, they're doing a Secret of Mana collection, which is out digitally now, I believe. Yeah, it comes out today, and they're gonna have a physical release of it later on down the road, I think. But it's the first. It's the three Mana games. It's Adventures of Mana, which is basically Final Fantasy Adventure.
Secret of Mana.
And then you have Secret of Mana, and then the third game as well. So
what's that called?
Saiken Densetsu 3, but I don't know what the actual English name of that is.
It's the one that they announced.
Oh, Trials of Mana. It's the original Trials of Mana. Okay, duh. Okay.
That's just a 3D remake of that game.
Right, okay. So, wait, is that me?
Yeah, that's you.
That's me. Sorry.
That's totally you, man.
So I was excited because I actually never played Secret of Mana, but I played Final Fantasy Adventure as a kid. I still have it like complete in box and stuff. I'm going to have to sell it, but I love that game.
This is me now.
Yeah. I love that game, and I'm looking at it on my shelf as I saw all my games, and when they announced it, I'm like, oh, cool. I love to just have like a digital collection of the Mana games. I want to get into them eventually anyway. $40.
$40 for three ROMs.
$40. No thanks. Like it's
asinine. ROMs on a cartridge.
Yeah, when you have like the Castlevania collection and like the Contra collection.
How much are those? $20?
$20.
And they come with like 8-10 games.
Yeah, and they're like all like amazing, great games. And then for whatever reason, RPGs, like they love doing this whenever they port them over, they're just like, we can charge like ridiculous prices for these ROMs.
Yeah.
I don't understand why.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So
I'm slightly interested in it.
I really want it, but I'm going to have to wait for a sale for this thing.
Yeah. Well, and that's I don't know how many what copies they're making, if it's a limited type of deal. Well, for you, it's whatever. Downloading digital.
I'm
going to
throw it on my wish list and then get discounted eventually.
Yeah, I might be interested in it. Because I was telling you, I don't have Secret of Mana. So, and I was tempted to buy the remaster, but the art style looks like shit.
Well, yeah, it got torn apart, and I think that's a concern people have with Trials of Mana, too, is that it's basically kind of being done in the same vein.
Right, so. I don't have Secret of Mana, and this collection that comes with all three games is cheaper than the cartridge for Super Nintendo. So if I come across a Super Nintendo copy, am I going to turn it down? No, but I'm... At this point, I haven't come across one in all the years that I've been looking. So, and this is $40, and it comes with all three games. So
I'm okay with like $30, and I'll
be able to find it pretty easily for $30. So, yeah. And then, anything else they announced? I think that's about it.
That's not really it. I guess we can touch upon real quickly that After the conference in the Treehouse streams, they did address
Mario Maker 2.
So you'll be able to play with your friends now. They're going to release an update. It's pretty unclear if that's going to be available on launch. I doubt it because it's about to come out. So they probably are going to have to release a patch later on for it.
Yeah.
But there we go. That's fixed at least.
Wow. Thank you so much, Nintendo, for allowing us to play with our friends after the outrage.
At least.
Yeah. At least they listened.
Whatever. At least they listened. They could have easily just not.
And a few years ago, they wouldn't have.
Yeah.
They just wouldn't have. They don't. They did not care at all.
No.
So
I have a feeling this is the new management's doing because a lot of the new management is just like no, just do what they tell us to do. Like sometimes they're just like, please just do this. Like
yeah, exactly.
We can't make this mistake again of being super arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, hopefully they'll start improving the online. Maybe. Oh, you know what they didn't touch on at all that everyone thought they would is a more virtual console stuff.
I've lost hope on that a long time.
Yeah, I mean I'm totally uninterested.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it just the service sucks. So, until they fix it, I don't even care enough to get more news for it until they bring more news for it. And then I'll be like, okay, now it's okay.
Yep. Thankfully, I'm glad that Twitch did that free year giveaway. I mean, I don't have to even worry about renewing it for until September 2020 for
me. Yeah, same.
So, yeah, the online service is mediocre, but we all know that, and there's really nothing else to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is.
All right. So overall, what was your thoughts on 2019's E3?
Honestly, I will say that I think it's overall been a good E3. Like I always have lower expectations than most people. I don't expect E3s to be insane. I don't know why.
I think next year's will be
maybe
two new consoles.
I think people always blow these things out because they always say that. And people love to go like, well, next year's going to be big because they're going to reveal the new consoles. And then the new consoles get revealed and people are like, oh, great, new consoles. But they didn't really talk about that many new games. Like, there's always like something
always
that's missing.
Something, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I do think that we have a culture of just an oversaturation of information that people always feel like they're missing something. And I feel like that I truly believe that this year there was something for everybody out there. There is a whole lot of stuff there.
Yeah, for sure.
So overall, I'm actually very impressed with this year's E3. And it's still, I'm glad that it's still like the spirit of E3 is still very much a thing, even within these online conferences and stuff. I don't think that these like big budget conferences are necessary anymore. I was perfectly fine with like Nintendo's and like even Devolver's hilarious like skip thing. I think it's going to continue moving into that direction. They're so much more genuine, even though they're fake, the skits, than the ones where people are sitting on stage just going, we've been dominating the gaming industry.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah,
well, they
blah,
used blah, to be really bad. They used to be like business meetings.
And yeah, they've definitely gotten better, but like it's just whatever. Some creepy moments in E3 this year, like that girl, I think her name was like something Nakamura.
Man.
She was just a girl who made an announcement about a game and like was kind of cute about it, and then the internet blew up and is like basically like fetishizing this girl right now.
Yep.
And I feel really bad for her.
Yeah,
it's really gross.
Yeah, it is. I was on my message board that I frequent, and the E3 topic, they had this like Microsoft Sam voice turned on, so like it would read off all the posts.
Oh no!
And I was watching with that topic in the background minimized, and she came on. And it was bad. It is. I mean, it was bad. It was just a flurry of messages like that.
Oh, God. People are so weird.
I mean, she was cute, but...
Yeah, I mean...
It was like people were like...
I literally just watched the conference and I'm like, she's a cute girl. And then I moved on from it. And then you have people online are just like, gotta type online and let them know how I...
What I would do to her.
What do I do to her? And it's just like, my God, you people are frankly really disgusting. Like it's really gross. Like come on.
That's the internet, and it happens every year.
Yeah.
Anytime they bring an even moderately attractive girl on stage to any of these conferences, that's what happens.
The
same thing happened on at the
go ahead. Sorry.
The Mario Maker 2 competition. I was online, and everybody was like, "Oh my God, girl, so cute."
Oh God. That's so crazy.
I hope cute girl wins.
Oh, man.
But it was a lot more explicit than that.
A lot of these same like journalists, like websites out there that like complain about attention like this, are the same ones get putting these articles out too, where they're just like, internet blows up about this girl, and it's just like, what are you doing? Like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, she just gave an announcement to a game, and it was just kind of like cute about it. Like, don't make this bigger than it needs to.
People are weird, man.
She regrets doing that, I'm sure.
Yeah. I even saw a pretty good picture or pretty good post of somebody being like, took a picture of her on stage and zoomed in on her hand and circled her wedding ring, was like, that bitch.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Guys, have some class out there when it comes to this stuff. Like, keep your thoughts to yourself. You don't have to post every disgusting thought that comes in your mind.
Yeah, we were just talking about how, like, it's nonstop diarrhea trash on the YouTube live stream.
Oh,
comments.
My God. Yeah, like, that. I mean, that's just, like, there's different layers of hell when it comes to the internet, like, disgusting filth trash.
Mm-hmm.
I think the YouTube chat rooms are pretty high up there now.
Well, it's just nonsense. It's just nothing but just diarrhea.
It's just the poop of the internet all in one place. It's nuts.
So you liked E3 this year?
I really did.
I thought it was good. I was pretty entertained, which is rare. I feel like last year or in the year before, I was bored throughout all of it. So, unfortunately, Sony was not there, so we didn't get any good cringe stuff, because they're always just like, their shows are always so weird.
The only cringe conference this year, which we didn't really talk about, was the PC Gamer conference.
Oh yeah,
that was awkward. We kind of just skipped that.
Well,
completely.
And that's what my wife said too when we were watching it. I'm like, this is the PC gaming one. It's a lower budget. They don't have as much money and time to rehearse this.
Not even so much the money. It was just the personality and stuff too. It was very strange.
Yeah. Well, they got a lot of like weird, like, they would bring the developers out, and a lot of them were just like one guy,
and they're like,
who's probably not
game,
a PR guy.
Yeah, they're like, I mean, this is the game. I hope it's good. I hope you guys like it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I don't blame them. They're not PR people, and like, that's not their job. So, but the hosts were just like, wow, that game looked quite crazy. Any crazy things you can tell us?
Yeah.
Like,
so. You can attack with the ghosts.
I'm sure gamers will be pleased to hear that. All right. Well, let's move on to our next.
Yeah.
Like,
I got bored of it, and I turned it off when, they started showing off like a monitor, and it was like 4K, 100 or 240 hertz.
I think you're talking about the graphics. I'm
just like,
G-Sync.
I'm just like, okay, I'm out. It was like a 5-minute commercial about a monitor. I'm like, all right, we're done here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, overall, I enjoyed it too. All right, well, let's wrap this thing up then.
How long are we here?
Almost 2 hours. Oh, hour 45.
That's what I expected.
So if you made it this far, I doubt you did, but if you did...
Thank you so much.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Go ahead, give us a subscribe. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a like. Give us a review. Send us a question or a topic on analogoutmedia@gmail.com. And you could check us out on www.analogoutmedia.com and Podbean, Stitcher, and Google Play, and iTunes, and hopefully soon Spotify. Gotta fix that error they sent me. So
sorry, Spotify people.
On that note, we love you very much. We want you to be safe and have fun. Good night.
Bye-bye. Log out.